and Military Supply.
Welcome to America Tonight, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. We love our flyover states, by the way. I went to school there, went to Ohio University. At the top of the show, we always talk to someone from Talk Radio News, Victoria Jones, insider inside the Beltway out of D.C., joins us now at the top of the show. Always a treat to chat with her. Victoria, the White House, what's the deal on what's happening in Egypt? It seems to me like they're kind of dancing around it, not really saying much, only that they hope it's a peaceful transition and that sort of thing. What's the deal there?
Well, I think they think that saying peaceful transition is quite strong language, because transition means transition to what? Robert Gibbs did, and Hillary Clinton yesterday, Secretary of State, did use the word immediately. Robert Gibbs took it a little step further today when, amid a lot of expressions of peaceful transition, he finally did actually use language very similar to saying, we want the country to work better.
Mm. So that is strong.
Yeah. We want the country to work better. He was pretty clear that they don't like things the way they are. They do want free and fair elections, and they do want them to start talking to the opposition. Now, we hear that Mubarak, the president, has authorized the vice president to start talking to the opposition. However, it's not clear who in the opposition he's going to be talking to, or whether the opposition would accept. And the point is that the demand of the protesters, the overriding demand, has been Mr. Mubarak's resignation. So it's certainly not clear whether this is going to do any good.
Yeah, no kidding. We'll have to wait and see on that one. And what about the cutting off of aid? That's been suggested. One of the major Democrats said today that it's just cut off the aid because we've pumped so much money into the country at this point. Most of it's for the military.
Gibbs continues to say that that is something that is being watched and will be reviewed. There's well over $1 billion in aid that goes to Egypt, of which about 80% is military aid. And we first heard about this on Friday, and they are watching events unfold, and they are reviewing this. So I think they will make a decision. I don't know when. They're not tipping their hat on that, but they are watching it, and they are reviewing it, and they are prepared to make a decision on aid.
Yeah. How about this big story? Second judge now strikes down the health care law as unconstitutional. Dick Durbin says he's going to chair a hearing on the reform law's constitutionality. Woo, there must have been heavy reaction, I would assume, to that.
There was huge reaction to this from a lot of people. The White House reacted to this. Very interesting. Stephanie Cutter, an assistant to President Obama, said the ruling is well out of the mainstream of judicial opinion, calling it overreaching and activism, saying it contradicts decades of Supreme Court precedent that support the considered judgment of the democratically elected branches of government. And she's also accused the judge of putting all of the new benefits, cost savings, and patient protections that were included in the law at risk, and obviously said that she believes that it will ultimately be upheld. The judge says basically that this goes beyond the Commerce Clause in the Constitution. And he also said that because the law doesn't have what I discovered today is called a severability clause, that would allow him to just strike down the individual mandate, he says he has to strike the whole thing down. And the reason it doesn't have a severability clause in it is because of the way the bill came about back in January last year. Democrats were forced to let the legislation pass the House with only some alterations to technical reconciliation process after Scott Brown was elected in order to allow the thing to go through.
Wow. One last one, because I know you got to fly, but there was a lot made about the airport bill. Even Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid saying, look, we got to protect hundreds of thousands of good-paying jobs. This has to go through. What's the scuttlebutt on that?
Well, I think it is likely to go through. There is quite a lot of support for this. There are a lot of things in this bill that are very popular, including the Passengers' Bill of Rights. So I think there's going to be a lot of talking about this, but I think it's likely to go through.
All right, as always, thank you very much, Victoria Jones. You have a good one from Talk Radio News.
Thank you so much.
And so we were talking there about a couple of different things, including right at the top, the judge in Florida striking down health care reform, the law. This isn't a surprise. Remember, U.S. District Judge Roger Vinson, appointed by Bush, ruled that the reforms law's so-called individual mandate went way too far in requiring that Americans start buying health insurance in 2014 or pay a penalty. So we're back to the whole individual mandate thing. Coming up, more from Washington. We're going to have a conversation with Robert Craig, Citizen Action out of Wisconsin. He's the communications and program director. He's got some personal stories to share about health care and how that played a role in the small business that he became a part of, which is this group, Citizen Action. And he breaks it down and talks about how much more they have to pay because there weren't things in place for small businesses. So it's that tug of war over what do you mean and how do you break this down when it comes to small business. So anyway, back to the federal judge and individual mandate, which has people's hair on fire, including mine, because I don't think you should be forced to. It shouldn't be forced down your throat. You don't want it. You don't want it. If you want to play Russian roulette, you should be able to play Russian roulette. See, I think a lot of people should get catastrophic insurance. If your back is against the wall, you absolutely can't afford it. Catastrophic insurance protects you in case the worst happens, even breaking your leg, so you don't have to pay thousands of dollars that you do not have. But regardless, I don't believe you should be forced to get health care. And this is really, I think, the key provision in the law that has become the most contentious right from the get-go. And that's exactly what the judge was saying. He referred to the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act in that individual mandate, saying that the governors and the attorney generals from the 26 states who filed the suit, he agrees with them, almost all, of course, who are Republicans, in declaring that the Obama health care reform is unconstitutional. He really was going after just the one little tenet of that. But because of the way it's written, as Victoria said, he had to lump it into the whole thing. Now, the Obama administration is saying, and this isn't a surprise either, they're going to appeal Vinson's ruling, and they think it'll prevail on this issue. They'll prevail ultimately because it's going to end up, where's it going to end up? And we knew this from day one. It's inevitable that it was going to end up in the laps of the Supreme Court, and that's what's going to happen. So there was a statement released just saying, we disagree with the court's ruling. We believe that, as other federal courts have found, that the Affordable Care Act is constitutional. As always, everything's open for interpretation. We are a land of laws, aren't we, after all? And that's what the law is all about, going back and forth and trying to interpret its meaning. So you can throw in your two cents if we go deep on this, and we will. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. It's just full steam ahead. The White House is officially saying they're going to continue with implementing the law. That's it, period. And let the case be appealed and everything else, but we're just going to push forward with it. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to fill in the blanks, including Egypt. Still some chaos in Egypt. No major decisions. You heard that in that conversation from Washington. But how is the rest of the world reacting? Wait and see.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
I'm Roger Rao at Midas Resources. If you are going through a financial roller coaster because of your investment in stocks, bonds, and other paper assets, perhaps you're ready for a change. You have an opportunity to change your financial security. Get the stability and peace of mind you deserve by investing in precious metals. Gold and silver have been a form of wealth protection for over 5,000 years all over the world. If you have seen your hard-earned money lose value because of inflation, sliding dollar, etc., it's time you stop the bleeding. The answer to your problems is simple. Gold and silver. Silver will protect your assets and your purchasing power, physical possession of precious metals, IRA rollover, etc. Call me, Roger Rao, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 178. Take action today when we are still accepting paper dollars for gold and silver. Ready for a change? Call Roger Rao at 1-800-686-2237, extension 178. Again, it's 1-800-686-2237, extension 178.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
Segment. Let's wind back. Everybody wants to know about Egypt, or at least the people who are paying attention, because you have to be concerned. I know that there's ice storms and snow, and you're worried about travel, and there's things happening here in the United States. But trust me, Egypt affects us. The Middle East is what happens in the Middle East is key. Like gasoline, when you pull up and you're paying more, OPEC, baby, they got the control. They have a noose around our necks, OPEC does, and it's all part of the Middle East game. And here's a giant piece of the puzzle because of the fact that Egypt's been an ally and the peace agreement that they've got in place with Israel for 30-plus years. I've already talked about this. All of you know this. This is a smart audience, the Suez Canal, getting those boats through fast. So certainly, whatever the transition is, you want to have a good relationship with them, to say the least. Well, the looting's continuing, and there's still some problems. So the pyramids have been guarded, and the museum's been guarded at this point. And the rest of the world is reacting to what is happening there. Is Mubarak out? Is he going to resign? Is he forced out? Ultimately, what happens in this regime change? You have to think that there's going to be a regime change because it's not ending. It's not like Iran. You know, you had the Twitter and you had things cropping up, and bravo to the young people in Iran who reacted and tried to do what they could to have a change, to have free elections and whatnot. But forget about it, because Ahmadinejad acted fast. And so did the council, the clerics around him as well. But what are people saying about Egypt, and what are people on the ground saying? Here's a little snippet of some of the reaction.
We will put you to a crushing defeat, whatever you do.
That pretty much says it. Did you understand what was being said? Yeah, we want defeat. That's what we want. And meaning defeat of Mubarak and moving on and getting away from the current president of Egypt who's been in place for 31 years. So does it happen or does Mubarak stay in place? Well, it doesn't seem as though Mubarak actually has anybody keeping him in place. In other words, there aren't governments coming out and standing up for him and saying, you know, this has to, this government has to stand. That's not what's reverberating, not just from America, but from other parts of the world. So as we're getting all these updates, and I still think that they're kind of waltzing around some of the major issues, the one thing is clear, really, it is a dilemma, but really nobody's backing Mubarak. And you think, man, all that aid, 85% of it going to the military from the U.S. coffers. That's where the money was pumped in, man, from us. We gave it to Mubarak, of course, to support a peaceful government. So now you've got this unrest where you've had this relationship for 30 years. You've got this strategic partner in Mubarak. And with this tug of war over what the democratic ideals are, that relationship is frayed with these demonstrations demanding that Mubarak get booted, that he resigns, that he's gone. So far, it's been a very tempered, measured, whatever you want to call it, U.S. response to what's going on in Egypt. What are the changes that are going to happen? Can Mubarak, who desperately wants to hang on to this job, appease the throngs of people who are calling for him to get out of the way? And the answer is, of course not. He can't do that, no matter what he does. And really, one of the leading opposition guys is somebody we heard a little bit from in a previous show because he was on one of the network shows, Mohammed Al-Baradi, who is a Nobel winner, warned now he's starting to go after the United States, that the United States needs to let go of its longtime ally. So this is the point where things are getting mixed up. At what point do you dump Mubarak, jump on his bandwagon? Because if he becomes the guy who ends up being the president of Egypt, boy, you don't want to be on the outs with him. So he's saying that this former head of the Atomic Energy Agency is saying, you need to review your policy. You need to let go of Mubarak. You shouldn't be behind the curve. You need to start building confidence with the people and not with the people who are smothering the people. So he didn't mince words. He didn't waltz around it. Of course he didn't. He wants to take control here and change the government in Egypt. And he's got some backing of many of the people who are protesting. But this is a very, very precarious situation for the president, especially because, again, the links, the fact that this has been a peaceful friend in the Middle East for all this time. What if Mubarak should stand? What if this other government, you know, gets in place? And I think Mubarak goes, but that's not 100% sure. Remember, he's still got that military muscle that we've partially paid for in the streets. And, you know, you've got to think about this. There's a peace treaty in place that guarantees $1 billion a year in U.S. military aid to Mubarak's government. So that's why I asked the question about the aid. What happens in, you know, they're talking about reviewing the aid policy, of course, because we've got money invested in this sucker. So what are we moving to? What direction are we moving? You know, a guy who I liked when he was in place, actually during the Clinton years, the U.S. Defense Secretary at the time, William Cohen, he had something strong to say. He said, you know, we got to balance our ideas and also our strategic interests. Okay. So he's saying exactly what I'm saying. Strategically, Egypt is important, and it's important to all of us. I don't care if you're listening to me in Muskegee. I don't care where, Stamford, Connecticut. You don't want to see Egypt blown off the board unless we completely withdraw from the Middle East, and that's not happening anytime soon. No way, no how. Let's go to Dan in Texas. Hello, Dan. Dan, what do you say?
Madam President, I'm about to impeach you.
Oh, please. We talked about this last night. All the other dominoes could fall, Jordan, etc., because we're screwed. We have all this money invested, so they got to make some kind of a stand here. If we're going to have a way to get through the Suez Canal, we got to have somebody in place for us.
I agree. And, you know, I think you got the right idea there. I mean, go along to get along, right?
Right.
Okay. I thought a lot about this today, and I've been hearing all this. Those people over there think that they're having a real bad time under Mubarak. I guarantee you, under this Baradei, who's just a stooge for the Muslim Brotherhood, they will go back to 700 A.D. as goat herders once again, and electricity will go down the tubes like it has in Iran and Iraq and every place else that they've turned back the hands of time, and you're going to see a terrible, terrible situation for the people there. And the Muslim Brotherhood will not give a damn about the plight of the people. It'll be God, country, God, 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 and that's about all it'll be. And jihad, jihad, jihad. They've got an idea to form a caliphate with the whole world belonging to Muslimville. Well, I got news for you. If it comes down to it, us or them, I'm voting for us, and I don't care what we got to use, guns, knives, sticks, chewing gum, whatever. We'll do it.
Oh, I agree with you. If it comes, if push came to shove and it came down between the us's and the them's, well, you know where I am on that one.
Adios, them.
Yeah, absolutely. If it did come down to that, absolutely. It's interesting. Some of what you said I agree with. Thanks for phone call. The problem is what we just said there. So, in other words, Dan is saying, hey, be careful what you wish for, Mubarak. You got the peace. It's what I said. You have the money invested. All that money that's being pumped in, they get that money for the military. You make a switch, it might not be the same thing. And then, ultimately, what happens with the new guy who takes over? And what about some of the extremist issues or the Christian issues? It's a dilemma. Stay with us.
They all laughed when I told them my body cleansing tonic was tea. But after 10 days, my body feels way more energized, and I've lost nearly 15 pounds. They're not laughing now.
That's what John from Oklahoma said about Life Change Tea.
In the 6 months of being on the tea, all my digestive problems have cleared up. My energy levels have gone way up, and my constipation problems are no more.
And that's what Michelle from California said about Life Change Tea from GetTheTea.com, the amazing all-natural tea that cleanses your body from toxins, chemicals, bacteria, viruses, and molds, while helping to lower high blood pressure, high cholesterol, lower blood sugar levels, and help you lose weight. Life Change Tea has no caffeine and is all-natural, all-organic. Go to GetTheTea.com today or call 928-308-0408. That's GetTheTea.com or call 928-308-0408.
Life Change Tea really changes things.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines. It seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Has blown my mind. John Cash has done his time. When you and I were in the weeds drinking wine, with that English singer in your hip hop thighs. And guns on the roof, to the acid chest, to the reels and rhymes of that Gaelic trash. Dancing with the ex lead singer of the Clash. Guns on the bar and his hands on your man. Hip hop has blown my mind. John Cash has done his time. When you and I were in the speed and drinking wine, and that singer's life is used past decline. And a local girl with those criminal thighs, cheek to cheek in that 3-4.
Broadcasting once again from Washington, D.C., and we're here at Health Action 2011. Families USA is putting this on, and sitting with us here is Robert Craig. He's the executive director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, and we're going to talk to him about what's actually happened now that the law has kicked in and what happened leading up to it and then moving forward. Robert, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Great to be here.
First of all, let's talk about, you know, I say the title, Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Tell everybody really what it is that you do.
We're a statewide organization that works in social economic justice issues. Our two big issues are good jobs and health care reform.
And so health care reform, that was a huge push. How long were you working on that?
Well, our organization had been working on it 12 years intensively.
Wow.
I've been working on it before I came to Citizen Action, but I've been personally been working on it 5 years before we ever got to the point of actually passing a national bill. We did a whole lot of state initiatives to try to do it when there was no hope of national action.
Right, and so you were already, you had a backup plan, so to speak, I guess. Okay, then we'll rely on the state and what we're going to have to do here. And did you do that through grassroots efforts?
Very much, and we got a major bill through our state senate back in 2007, but we also saw those efforts as an attempt to put pressure on the federal government to act. So we were trying, national action is easier than state by state. And so we were hoping that we could elect someone on a mandate to do health care reform, which we did in 2008, which set up the whole debate in 2008. 209 and 210.
Yeah. What would you say are the biggest misconceptions about this new health care law? Because it's only been in effect essentially, well, it was passed 10 months ago, and I still think there's people that don't understand much about the law.
Well, it's a complicated law, and there's been a ton of misinformation. There's been a lot of special interest money out there to misinform people about what's actually in the law. There's a misperception that the death panels were a misperception that's been debunked. That's mm-hmm. not in the bill mm-hmm. or the laws, I should say. The idea that the government takeover has actually been found to be false in a lot of the PolitiFact analyses that have been done by independent journalists, because it is a system that relies upon private insurance and gives people the same access to competing private insurance who don't have it through their jobs right now. So it's a very moderate centrist approach, very American, very different than what's been done in Europe or Canada.
And part of your job is you work on that communication side heavily. So mm-hmm. is that part of what you have to do, disseminate some of that information out there now that, okay, we have this, so moving forward, we have our grassroots people in place and we're always getting more. Is it about that organization?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's something that takes a lot of public education, and it's something, you know, people have so little time to attend to it that they're not going to read a 2,000-page bill, and they're not going to understand it anyway because it's written in language of legal drafters and refers to other statutes. But people don't know the nuts and bolts of how Medicare or Social Security functions. They know how it works in general. So if people understand basically what its benefits are, what it's already doing for people to make health more secure by banning pre-existing condition discrimination for kids, banning lifetime limits, requiring preventive care being offered for free, require kids be able to stay in their parents' policies at 26, those sorts of things, and then moving forward to a new system where everyone will have access to affordable care and good private insurance. Once people understand that, it's more popular. In fact, the individual provisions, if you poll them, are popular. So what's happened is people have a misperception about what it is overall, whether health care reform is good. Once they know the elements of it, it's very popular. And we've had this turn where people are now against repeal. So gradually, the more people benefit from it, the more less willing they're going to be to give it up. And so I think it's been slow progress, but I think we've begun to reach a turning point where it's going to be more and more popular as it's better and better understood.
And do you reach out to the people you know that are misinformed and that would say, no, it's going to cost me more money or whatever? Because people who are already on board, you know this, they can spread the word and that'll multiply and that's good. But the people who don't know, the people that have that blowback are the ones you need to reach, right?
Right. So we don't have a lot of money like the health insurance industry to run a whole bunch of television ads, right? We do forums, but the problem with that is you get a lot of people who already are committed and know. They're the ones who have time to and are energized to come out to a forum. So as a result, we do a lot of earned media. We release research reports, go on a lot of radio shows, so try to reach people like your audience who may not have tuned in to all of the elements of the bill. We also work a lot. What's happened, it's interesting, is that now that the law is passed, because we have a federal system, most of the major decisions are now being made by the states. So just educating state legislators about it and educating people that the people to talk to about this is not your congressman as much anymore, but your governor and your state legislature, and that's a huge deal, and that's what's going to determine whether this works, how the 50 states implement it.
Yeah, and speaking of that, with the state legislature and whatnot and moving forward, it's the co-ops also are confusing to people. I would think that would be huge because of what that can do for small businesses. You have tons of small businesses in Wisconsin.
There's the ability to develop co-ops. There's money in the bill for that. The biggest thing for small businesses, though, and for individuals who don't have insurance at work, is the state health insurance exchanges that start in 2014. Each state is responsible for setting them up and figuring out how they're going to work with certain minimum federal requirements. But they're going to create a marketplace where there is regulated private insurance, where their very good benefits package is clear. You'll have four levels. You'll know what's covered. And then the companies have to compete based on cost and quality. And so that is going to provide, for the first time, a real safety net for everyone. And there's huge subsidies up to $885,000 a year for a family of four. You can get subsidies, tax credits to help pay for your health insurance on the exchanges. And they won't be able to do all of the insurance abuses that have outraged people for years. So that is going to make it possible. You know, there are families that hold on to one job they don't like that much and stay in one location. It's called job lock because it's the one place the family gets health care. Now you can could start a small business, take time to write a book, to maybe start a radio station or have a talk show, right? And so it's going to unleash a lot of energy once people have a place to go. We're the only advanced industrial country where you don't have a place to go get health insurance unless you have a certain kind of job.
Right. And you could, for the health exchanges, you could be an individual, right? So you could be an entrepreneur.
Yes, you could be an individual. Small businesses will have a place because they've gotten killed. I know these numbers are similar nationally, but in Wisconsin, 10 years ago, 60% of our small businesses provide health coverage. Now 36% do because they can't afford it. And so this is going to give them an affordable place. The research shows that small businesses desperately want to provide coverage to their workers because that's why they lose workers, because a worker can't stay there long term. They go to another company that provides coverage who can afford it in the long term. And so it's going to make small businesses much more competitive.
Right. So, in other words, then you're right. They won't lose out on some of the more talented players out there because they'll be able to offer them something. And we've heard the other thing, the other side of this, the sad end, where there's the small business owner talking about the fact that they had to let people go because they just couldn't afford it under the system that was going on. They couldn't do it.
Oh, you get one person who's sick and it destroys the whole small group policy, right?
Right.
I know we're a small organization. It's like a small business in terms of how we buy health insurance. We've had our rates go up 38% last year because we had one chronically ill person on our staff.
You had to pay more.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we shopped around. We couldn't get a better deal, spent a huge amount of time trying to do it. So we can't wait for the exchanges to exist. And we as a nonprofit, other small businesses have a tax credit to help pay for insurance that started already.
Yeah, so that'll already help.
Yeah,
tax credit.
So we're going to get, according to our accountant, we're going to get about $8,000 just for our small nonprofit as a tax credit to help us afford insurance.
Right.
And small businesses get even more than nonprofits do.
Yeah, 38%, and that's the double digits we're hearing from other people, too, like California, where they really were socked. 50-some percent, the Blue Cross, Anthem Blue Cross, they nailed badly there.
And one of the exciting things is, and there are all these moving parts to the bill, so I never want to confuse people, but there is a provision there that gave all the states money to do rate review. So they have the capacity to review the rate increases of all health insurance companies and make transparent why they went up. And so that's supposed to come in this year. So people need to put pressure on their insurance commissioners, their legislatures, to make sure that actually happens, because once you know that, you can have public outrage about a particular company raising rates 30% with no basis whatsoever. And the state has the authority, if it wants, to disallow excessive rate increases. And so we want to encourage states to do that as well and people to be involved. So there's a way for us, because of this law, to fight back against excessive increases even before those state health insurance exchanges are created in 2014.
Right, just to move forward. We have just a little under a minute. So what does this mean to you moving forward? How spectacular is that to be here and to hear what the president had to say today?
Well, I mean, it was historic legislation. It was the most sweeping social legislation to pass in 50 years in the United States. But it's far from over because we're at the state implementation process. There's still a big movement of conservatives and, quite frankly, health insurance company interests that want to repeal it. And so this is a test of American government. If we can make this happen, not only do we help a whole lot of people to have health security, not only do we take a great burden off of businesses, right, so we can create more jobs,
right,
we also show that government can solve 21st century problems. And I think if we get stuck in gridlock at the state level, if this goes on, and 3 years from now there are attempts to repeal it and we're starting at ground zero, then that's a shame, because it'll suggest that we can't govern ourselves and deal with 21st century problems. The bill could be improved. Every bill could be improved. Social Security and Medicare were improved, but we should be working constructively on how to improve them. And there are conservative ideas we should look at. But this idea that we're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater when we've had this huge healthcare hyperinflation, which has been so damaging to our country, to individuals, and the businesses, is just the wrong way to go and would really discredit our ability to cope and govern with 21st century problems.
Yeah. Robert, thank you so much. We appreciate your time on America Tonight.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Looking for the ultimate superfood? One that will give you lasting energy, improve your sense of well-being, and help you build lean muscle? One World Whey is the first ever unheated whey protein powder on the market. Virtually all other whey protein powders on the market are heated. This damages 15% or more of the proteins, making them unusable to the body. Fresh raw whey has been used for hundreds of years to alleviate many health problems. The life-giving properties in raw whey are now available in One World Whey. Whether you want to build immunity, strength, endurance, muscles, slow down aging, or just feel a lot better, One World Whey may be the perfect food for you. One World Whey is also an ideal emergency preparedness food. Simply mix with water and you'll have a delicious, life-giving protein food in vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry. For your free report on the benefits of unheated whey, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Skip the long lines and high prices at the florist because right now at ProFlowers.com, you can get 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase and a free box of chocolates for just $29.99. Just visit ProFlowers.com. Look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 4444. Unlike overpriced flowers at the florist, which sit in the cooler for days, our flowers are sent fresh cut from the fields and are guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days. Just visit ProFlowers.com today to get 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase and free chocolates for only $29.99. Order now and pick the delivery date you want. It's guaranteed. But hurry, because Valentine's Day is this Monday, and our special offer ends this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit ProFlowers.com. Look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 4444.
Hi, I'm Don Wiskin, and have you ever wondered what the garlic cayenne drops could do for you? February is Heart Month, and we want you to find out just what can happen when you take the right combination of herbs designed to maintain our cardiovascular health. Purchase a 4-month supply of Extendivite drops or capsules, plus get a bonus month supply of capsules for only $125 plus shipping. That's 5 months worth of Extendivite for $25 per month. This is a Heart Month special to help get you started on your path to better health and ends February 28th. So don't be left out. Find out what Extendivite can do for you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. Extend your life with Extendivite.
To be clear, I mean, honestly, what's the business to be in this country? Say it with me. Insurance. In all of the push-pull over affordable care, it's really insurance that we're talking about, right? It's the insurance people that win. The premiums go up. They get a bigger car. They get a 3-car garage. What's the job you want the most? CEO of one of the big fat cat insurance companies, right? Just sit for a night and flip through the commercials, because all of us TiVo everything. But if you flip through, count how many insurance companies, Progressive, Geico, State Farm, Allstate, you know, name it. They've got the money, and of course they're pumping out the commercials. State Farm is there, like a good neighbor, right? Of course we're there. Geico, they've got clever commercials, but they're making the money. It's the insurance companies that make out like bandits, so that's why we're in this situation in the first place, I think. And hey, I'm all for capitalism, though, so you gotta be careful where you tread here. That's what's made America what America is, the land of opportunity. You suck the capitalism out of it, it's not the land of opportunity anymore. In fact, to be honest, the wealthiest people I know, the wealthiest friends that I have, I'm talking, have a lot of money, they're all in insurance. They own their own insurance companies. I thought about this the last couple of weeks. I know 3 people who have their own insurance companies, and they're making money. Because think about it, premiums, 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 you know, what they get every single year, whether it's health insurance, life insurance, you know, you name it. House insurance, rental insurance, there's all kinds of things that can be insured, right? I think that it does go back up to the Supreme Court as we kind of circle the wagons here on America Tonight, and we're heading for the finish line of this hour anyway. You know, there was a lot made, of course, and has been made over healthcare, and we just listened to a conversation there where you're talking about businesses and small businesses being squeezed and what happens if you – if you completely suck away what's now on the books of affordable care. I truly believe that every single one of us thinks that we should have decent health care, that we should have access to decent health care. But it's a question of where the money comes from and how it all breaks down. And I don't like the individual mandate because I don't think you should force somebody to get it. It is like the car insurance, the example that people make. Well, you have to have car insurance. How many people are driving around without car insurance? I used to live in El Paso. Look out for the uninsured motorist. So the federal judge ruled Monday, Benson, that the Obama administration's health care overhaul is unconstitutional, siding with the 26 states that sued to block it. Where does this all end up? It was a 78-page ruling, too, by the way. Where does it all end up? Back in the lap of the Supremes, as I stated probably 20 minutes ago. Let's talk about a couple of other things. This is big deal. Big deal right now in this country. Panic, pandemonium, Snowmageddon, part two, part three, part four, depending on where you live. In Chicago, they're talking about 20-plus inches, maybe one of the worst storms that they've ever had, or going back to the 60s anyway. I have a cousin who lives in, I laugh, because he lives in Chicago, right in the city, and they have a German Shepherd, and he's got to take that dog for a walk no matter what. And he basically wears the big, heavy fisherman's gear almost to go outside. It's that bad. And we're even talking that you had snow falling in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Then you had a winter weather warning in effect in Boston. But don't they always have to deal with that in Boston? Key thing is here, folks, if you're listening to me and you're flying anywhere, make sure you check to see if the flights are still going or if they're delayed. It's really the Midwest, the flyover states, that are really bracing for a lot of snow, a foot or more of snow, and brutal winds. That's the thing that's the killer, though. In Oklahoma City, St. Louis, Chicago, they're talking about terrible, terrible winds to go along with this. And there's watches or advisories or all that kind of nonsense. The scare news in 29 states. 29 states. Ooh. So it's serious stuff. And, of course, even where my satellite facility is, they're talking about ice, and there's panic over that, and they're already canceling schools and canceling all kinds of things because of the ice. Matt, of course, you're there in Minnesota. And what else is new? You get lots of snow. Do you have snow on the ground now?
We do. It's been falling for the last 24 hours about. There was a little light snowstorm last night, and then it's kind of continuing throughout the day. We're not getting hit that hard, but we can manage a little better than other cities.
You have to. You have to be hardy if you're from Minnesota, if you live in Minnesota. It's just what you live with. And every state has something unique to them or area. For example, in parts of the Southwest, they talk about how terribly hot it is and you have to be able to deal with the heat. And so, you know, you have to deal with tornadoes or hurricanes, whatever it is. And certainly in parts of the Midwest, snow is one of the things that you deal with in the wintertime. Let's go to Jeff in Oregon. They get snow there, too. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Kate. No, we don't have no snow in the city. And I thought I'd give you an update on Special Olympics. It's 25th through the 27th of February. Is our state winter games.
All right, 25th through the 27th. And tell everybody who's listening, because this, of course, is broadcast across America. What things are you doing in the Special Olympics?
We're doing cross-country skiing, snowshoeing, and snowboarding, and downhill skiing.
Wow, sweet. How many people will participate about?
Like over a few thousand. The whole state of Oregon gets involved.
Wow, a few thousand. That's great. Do you get a lot of people that go and watch, I hope?
Some people do, some people don't. They're in Bend this year.
Wow. Well, good luck. You're training for that, right?
Yep, and we even have a thing called the Polar Plunge. What people do, they jump in the river for Special Olympics.
Oh, I love that. Polar Plunge. Boy, you have to have real guts to be able to do that. Well, Jeff, keep us abreast of what's happening, and thanks for the update. You stay warm in Oregon as you're practicing for all of this. How cool. The Polar Plunge. I was thinking about this. You know, when you're hibernating because schools are closed, businesses are closed, or whatever. Whether it's 1 inch of snow and it's pandemonium or ice, or it's 20 inches, you know what's a good thing? It's like you stay up late and you're watching movies. And what do you reach for a snack? Probably some people do the pizza thing or they do the popcorn thing. But how many people reach for cereal? What cereal without milk do you like to eat? What cereal will you go into the cupboard, sneak into the cupboard, and grab the cereal and start eating it out of the box? I would have to say, hands down, the majority of you listening, a lot of you guys listening, you remember this as a kid, Captain Crunch. For my nephew, it would be the Count Dracula chocolate cereal, you know, the chocolate Count Dracula, whatever it is, it would be that. Some people might say Fruit Loops. Matt, what would you say? What would be your cereal straight out of the box?
I never ate cereal straight out of the box so much. I was talking to you off air a little bit about King Vitamin, so anybody remembers that cereal. It's kind of a healthier knockoff of Captain Crunch, so I kind of fell in love with that because that's what I had at my house. I like Golden Grahams a lot and Cinnamon Toast Crunch too. But I was a big fan when I was younger. I used to eat cereal about probably 3 or 4 times a day. I'm not lying at all. I had it for breakfast. I had it when I came home from school. I'd have it as a nighttime snack. I ate cereal a lot when I was younger, and that was when my metabolism was on fire and I could handle all that. But I used to mix cereals a lot, where I'd have like a Honey Nut Cheerios and a Golden Grahams all in one bowl with some Rice Krispies or something. I mixed a lot of cereals together.
Oh, that doesn't sound good. Golden Grahams and like Rice Krispies? That sounds like a stoner cereal mix.
You just gotta try it.
Yeah. Experimenting. We have different strains here, if you know what I mean. Take a little of these Rice Krispies, yeah. Add some of those Fruit Loops in there. Throw in some Captain Crunch. Oh, sounds terrible. I think it's such a guy thing, more than women. Not that women don't eat cereal, but if you're going to go into the cupboard and eat that as a snack or eat it, you know, a couple of different times a day, it's more men that do that, or little boys that do that, you know, as they're growing up, like Matt was saying. The mixing thing, not so sure about that. Usually someone has a favorite and they just keep eating it out of the box. Then, like, your mother goes in there. Wait, we just bought this 2 days ago. What happened to all the cereal? Just to, like, think about it. What, we have rats? We have mice? What's going on here?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone is now dumber for having listened to it.
It's crazy.
I appreciate your understanding. Don't think twice. It's understanding that makes it possible for people like us to tolerate a person like yourself. Thank you. Don't mention it.